All right, you hear the music. That means it's time for the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Good morning. Hope you're having a great Saturday. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point, Las Vegas. And there he is. The long, strange trip begins, Mr. Lombardi. Well, with you and Danny, it began last weekend, but officially we're back together. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Patrick. You know, a lot of NBA, a lot of baseball. This has really been an amazing month of August here. And we haven't even hit on the golf. I mean, it's remarkable, right? We've got a PGA championship going on along with all these basketball games. So it's been a lot to talk about and a lot of fun to talk about it.
Yep. PGA TPC Harding Park. By the way, your buddy Ricky Fowler, he's out. He didn't make the weekend. I know you're a big fan.
Shocking.
Yeah. No, shocking.
I promise you, Ricky will be there to congratulate the winner. There's no doubt about that. He will shake the winner's hand coming off the course because he should have been a casino host because he's really good at doing that.
He's a happy guy. 15 games, Major League Baseball, 5 games in the NBA, 2 round robin as far as the hockey. The hockey was insane last night. We'll get to that. But again, we officially welcome you in. And yesterday, speaking of basketball, we've got our buddy Josh Applebaum. I see it feels like old times. We've got Josh coming up. We've got John Clayton. We've got Mike Palm joining us, and of course Thomas Gable's going to be joining here in just a little bit. How about that? We got to get you back to the casino, my friend.
I know we need to do that pretty soon there. I mean, it's starting to move around here pretty well, so hopefully we'll get it back. But you know, Applebaum was hot yesterday. I just want
to
go on the record.
I know
he was hot. He's been hot. I mean, I think it's important to recognize what he's been able to do with these sports. He called the Celtic game, you know, he talked about the line movement, and then he went off the track. And he was predicted the Mariners to upset the Astros, and he was talking about how the money was coming in on that, and if he didn't cash on that one too. So pay attention to Mr. Applebaum here when he comes up later in the show.
And you can always find Josh, of course, in the daily newsletter, and you can see him flexing in his newsletter today. Just go to VSiN.com, put your email address in, and you know what he said? He said contrarian bettors in sports books, they bounced back on Friday. NBA unders 4-1-1. The underdogs went 4-2 ATS with 3 outright wins. That means Josh had a profitable day. You mentioned, let's talk about the Celtics and the Raptors. This was interesting. A 122-100 win for the Celtics. Kemba looked good, but the over was the big story here for bettors. A 30-footer late to push this game over the 221.5. 74 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know, and usually, I mean, I think these fourth quarters have been fascinating, how many points have been scored. And I don't know if it's attributed to the lack of conditioning where players just get really tired. And we're seeing so many 40-point fourth quarters or high 30s. I mean, that's somewhat remarkable. And I also think it could be a reflection of coaches don't want to utilize all their defensive skills. I mean, there's a little bit of that. There's some gamesmanship here. But that game was important for Toronto. I mean, they could have clinched something there, and unfortunately, they just didn't play their best ball.
Yeah, Josh mentions, you know, the Celtics, the epitome of a sharp play here. Boston opened 3, and then 2/3 of the bets were laying on Toronto, but the line fell from 3 down to 1.5, so sharp. That was reverse line movement as far as that game's concerned. And, you know, Stevens came out and said, these games don't really matter to us right now. That's not how he put it, on paraphrasing, but the Raptors had been hot, you know, 3-0 ATS, 0-3 to the under. So they fall to 3-1, 3-1 ATS, 1-3 to the under. But the Celtics, this is a team you were also talking about before this, before the rejoin.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, I think the Celtics, I don't think we've heard the last of the Heat either. I think the Heat are a good team. I think the Celtics, Raptors, I think the East is going to have some really, really good games down the stretch here, because I think there's 4 teams, and I'm not counting Philly, because God knows, I mean, what Mr. Barkley said yesterday on television was so right. I mean, even Draymond Green, I mean, it's starting to come out that people are seeing this, that, you know, they talked to, what did Barkley say? Abid's not an all-star. He's an all-star, not a superstar. Bingo. And Draymond Green said it too. He said, look, every time the guy takes a jump shot, he's doing the defense a favor. So I think that's the key.
You mentioned Philadelphia. Somehow we got through 4 minutes as we welcome you in here on the Lombardi Line. It's presented by BetMGM. Hope you're having a great weekend. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Vegas here at the VSiN studios. Of course, Michael Lombardi in Jersey. All right, so let's get to it quickly here. Your buddy, Mr. Embiid, 23-13. The 76ers cover the 5 against the Magic. 3-1 now, straight up. 1-3 ATS for the 76ers. 2-2 to the over under. Now, this is their first game without Simmons. Let's get a vibe from you on this team right now. Seems to be some consternation around that injury, whether or not he'll return.
You know, I my sense of it, knowing how things operate with the Philly medical, I doubt if he will come back. But, you know, I'll be surprised if he does. But, look, I think that, you know, Al Horford's cut into the starting lineup. They play better defense when Al Horford's on the court. I mean, his plus minus lately in the last three games have been outstanding for the Sixers. And, you know, not to pick on Chubby, but the reality of it is that unless he – decides to play like Barkley and Draymond Green talk about, they got no chance. My point about bringing the Sixers up wasn't to get into them, but I think there's really good competition in the East, and I think if you just want to put your money on Milwaukee, that's fine. But I think there's other opportunities. I think the Heat are good. I think Toronto's good. I think the Celtics are good. Philly could be good if somebody decides he wants to play. That remains to be seen.
So where is he? And I know you don't want to stick on them, and Milwaukee did clinch the one seed. You mentioned the Heat. You think they'll give some teams some trouble. Obviously, you've been discussing not just the 76ers. You've mentioned Toronto. Toronto, that was their first poor performance. You know, defensively, they're just ridiculous. Offensively, yeah. Often, if they're missing their three-point, they can be a little disjointed, but defensively, they've been the best team in basketball in the rejoin. Now, as far as the 76ers, then we'll jump off of this. You mentioned Chubby. That's the new nickname that I didn't realize we had a new one for him. I like it, Mr. Embiid. Where are you without Simmons moving forward for the better?
Well, I think it's really going to be challenging. He's their best defensive player when he wants to play defense.
Absolutely.
Now, you would have never known that based on the first three games, the way he played in the first three games. You know, they don't, you know, in terms of a rim protector, they, you know, they still lack some of that because he doesn't always close out or play with high level intensity. So I think it's going to be a real challenge for them. Alex Burke played really well last night, came in and gave him some really good minutes in a backup point guard. And, you know,
Horford looked good too.
Horford's played really well there, but I just don't know if they have enough bench strength or they have enough, you know, without Simmons defensively, I think it becomes a problem, especially against a team like Boston.
Yeah, Boston right now, healthy, looking to roll. Now, let's jump into the matchups today. Mentioned got a ton to get to, Michael. Clippers and Trailblazers, you've got your handy little tool there. You mentioned the Trailblazers are getting crushed right now. This number opened the Trailblazers catching 4.5 all the way down to the Trailblazers favored by 2. The big news there, Kawhi is out. Harrell continues to be out. Lou Will continues to be out. The Blazers, we have it officially here as the Blazers laying 1 and a total of 231.
Yeah, you know, look, I think the Blazers have played really well. I mean, McCollum and Lillard, you know, as you said before we went on the air, Nurkic and Collins have really stepped up. I mean, it's interesting. We talked about Portland earlier before we went down to Orlando as maybe not being a team that really wanted to be there, and they've done nothing but show you they want to be there. Terry Stott has done a great job in terms of – and the high level of minutes that Lillard and McCollum are playing are remarkable. I mean, yep. They are playing a ton of minutes. You know, they're not on that 76er, you know, we only can play so many minutes or the Zion Williamson program. So they're playing and their hearts are in it. I mean, they're playing for everything. And I think that's why we're seeing this line shift so dramatically to Portland, because Portland's taking this seriously. Are the Clippers going to? Are they really going to be all in on this one, especially with Kawhi not playing?
Well, it wasn't just us questioning their heart or want to be there in Orlando. They're the one team that descended. They voted against going to Orlando. So we were a little surprised as far as the motivation, but certainly the time off has done them well. You mentioned Nurkic and Collins. Also, Lillard was a little banged up before. He had the 3 months rest, a little over 3 months. Now, here's where we stand as far as the West is concerned. Memphis finally picked up their first win. We'll get into that. So Portland now just a game back with three to play and the rejoin for most. San Antonio has been awesome. They're 2 back of Memphis. New Orleans picked up a win, so they're 2.5 back of Memphis right now. But the Trailblazer team, 3-1 straight up, 3-0-1 ATS, 3-1 to the over. They've been rolling both offensively and defensively, and Lillard has been ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have Trevor Ariza. They don't have Rodney Hood. So, you know, they've been doing this with the other thing. And, you know, Lillard is just unbelievable. I mean, he comes down the court. You got to guard him immediately or else he's going to shoot one of those things from 40. I got to give Terry Stott a lot of credit. I mean, they are playing with a lot of intensity. They picked up their defense, and they seem like they want to get in it. You know, Memphis surprised me. I thought Oklahoma City, that game last night, was interesting. I mean, Oklahoma City didn't play their typical style of play. And Memphis probably had the best game in Orlando since they've been there.
We'll have to check on the status as we get into the Jazz and Nuggets here on the Lombardi Line. We'll have to check on the status as far as Mitchell and Gobert. Gobert was held out. Mitchell, the status is unsure, but right now you've got the Jazz Nuggets today. The Jazz on a back-to-back. The Nuggets rested. The Nuggets open, catching one, Michael. Now they're laying one here. But again, you know, the Nuggets, who lost their last time out, were out without four starters. And Jokic has been awesome this year against the Jazz.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Denver's a team, a sleeping team. I mean, Michael Porter's been unbelievable, too. Now, Conley's supposedly out for Utah. So this is a game you've got to be really careful. Maybe Josh can update us in the next block. But Conley's out. Mitchell's out. Gobert's out. You know, I mean, Joe Ingles is going to be one of the few guys that's going to start for him. So I don't know how this is going to go. Plus, I think, you know, Denver's played really well. I mean, they've gotten some good play out of Jokic. I mean, he's been remarkable. And then Michael Porter's been really good. And P.J. Dozier comes off the bench and plays some backup point guard and has done a good job for them. So, you know, Denver's got a lot of talent. I mean, Jamal Murray's going to be a game-time decision in this game. Millsap's out for the Nuggets. But other than that, they finally kind of got it going a little bit.
Well, you mentioned Michael Porter Jr., who's been, you know, he's a total mismatch at 6'10", three straight with at least 27 and 12. You know, he was drafted low because of his health status coming out of college, but there was always the potential there. The two breakout stars, TJ Warren, the old NC State product, and Michael Porter Jr., just been having crazy, crazy rejoins.
I mean, I don't think I've seen TJ Warren miss a shot. I mean, he scored 50 on the Sixers. I mean, he's been remarkable there. He really has. He's been on fire, and he's played. He's upped his game tremendously down in Orlando, and it's a credit to him. And I think a lot of us kind of didn't feel that way. Now, I know the defense isn't to the level it's going to be come playoff time, but I think the way the NBA is back, it's really been fun to watch, Patrick. I don't feel, you know, the fans not being there, I don't feel discomfort. It's really interesting to watch, and it's a fun game.
You know, and no disrespect to Memphis here, Michael, but we as viewers, and nobody's consumed more basketball here over the last few weeks than Michael Lombardi, but we prefer the Lillard-LeBron matchup, the 1-8 matchup. If somehow the Trailblazers can sneak in 8, we'd like that matchup there.
Yeah, I would. I mean, because look, we know this. I mean, can the Lakers score? I mean, as you said before we went on the air, their shooting's atrocious. They don't have a real bench, you know, and I think, you know, they're susceptible. Now, we know the greatest player, LeBron's going to come in and dominate, and Anthony Davis will do their part. But it's going to take more than two guys to beat teams. And every time, and if Portland challenges them and plays it, it's wear and tear on the next game. It's those body punches that get you going down.
All right, let's talk about the Lakers. Lakers Pacers. This one open with the Lakers laying 8. It's down to 5.5 for good reason. Now, the Lakers, they lost to Houston on Thursday. No James, no Caruso. The offensive issues aren't going away. They attempted, by the way, just 19 threes versus Houston. I think Houston made 22 three-pointers. They're taking bad shots, the Lakers. You watch them, they're disjointed. In the half court, they're a disaster. They're shooting 33.6% from the field as a team. These are issues I don't think that are going away here. And Anthony Davis needs to step up, especially in the second half.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the perfect game for him to step up. I mean, Miles Turner's not going to be able to control him. He'll get in foul trouble in this game, as he's done whenever he has to play a dominating big man. I mean, this is one. Now, how much are the Lakers going to – they've got everything clinched up, Patrick. So that's the balance, you know, and I hate to say this, but when you look at the Pacers, how poorly they played two nights ago, you got to think that they're going to come back and play a little with a higher level of intensity, you know, in this game and take this a lot more seriously than, in fact, the Lakers will. LeBron's a game time decision, so we'll see what happens. Yeah. But Brockton's back for Indianapolis, and I mean, that's really been key. He's a really good player. He had a really good game the other night, even though they lost.
You know, it's interesting. You said probable for LeBron. AD's also listed as probable. My assumption is he will play. And also, I'm glad you brought up Indiana, who's sitting 5. In the East. However, weird vibes around that team, right? Nate McMillan, the big rumors down in Orlando is that he's not going to continue as far as the Indiana Pacers head coach, which is odd. But again, some weird vibes around the Pacers team right now, including TJ Warren just stepping up and turning into Larry Brown. Larry Bird. Larry Brown could coach, Larry Bird could shoot. And TJ Warren, he doesn't rebound, he doesn't play defense, but he can shoot.
He can shoot lights out, and if you don't guard him all the way out to the three-point line, he's going to really hurt you. Now, you know, Phoenix is another team that has played well, and Phoenix beat them. You know, Phoenix beat them. So, you know, I don't know what to make of Phoenix, you know, but Phoenix has played well since they've been down. I mean, I wasn't sure why they were invited to the tourney down in Orlando, but Phoenix has played really well. Devin Booker's made some incredible shots. I mean, the shot he makes to beat the Clippers is damn near remarkable. So, you know, I don't know if that was really as bad a loss as you might want to think. And Regency bias says, okay, go with Indianapolis here, because what do the Lakers have to play for? And that would be the concern that I would have in this game when you just look at it on the surface. But let me see here, Patrick. You know, it's all the money so far, and it's been not a lot of tickets being written up so far, but all the money is coming in on the Lakers.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Suns. We'll transition here. Suns Heat, the Suns open catching 2.5. They're now laying 1.5 today. The interesting thing about the Suns is they came into this situation pretty much in an improbable spot as far as having to leapfrog Portland and New Orleans and Sacramento, and they're 4-0. They're 4-0 ATS, Michael. They've been playing tremendously well. I think it's more about motivation heading into next year with a young roster. It's mostly improbable that they continue and make the postseason here, but it's a great showing by the Suns.
No doubt. I mean, you know, and they don't have Baines in there. Obrey's not in there. They're not playing with him. So, you know, this is the concern, I think, for Miami is, you know, Jimmy Butler's out. That's really a problem. And I think that gives them, you know, that gives them some consternation because they can't. He kind of sets the toughness tempo for their team. But one thing about this Phoenix team now, they're shooting lights out. They're playing hard. And you got to give Monty Williams some credit for it. I think he's doing what I thought New Orleans should have done, which is build off of this going into next season.
Booker's been ridiculous. You're not just that, not just the game winner. I mean, he has 112 points the last four games combined.
He's
He's been unreal. Do you see Draymond Green was on, I believe it was TNT, and he was openly tampering. He was saying, we need to get him out of Phoenix, and I think he's got a destination.
It'd be a perfect place to go would be Philadelphia, I would think. That would be ideal.
I think he was talking about the Bay.
I got the guy who matches his salary. I ship him out there for that. That'd be no problem, yes.
So you'd happily trade Chubby, as you call him, Mr. Embiid, for Devin Booker?
I mean, I think Booker's really a great player, and you get consistent performance out of him. Now, you know, it depends on what Embiid you're trading. Are you trading the one who's an all-star, or are you trading the one who has potential to be the superstar?
That's well put. Key. Now, the Suns, who are in a tough spot, the Bucks, they've clinched the one seed in the East. The Bucks today open 5.5 as a favorite against the Mavs, currently sitting 5.5. So we'll see here. But again, it's a team that's already clinched. So motivation becomes now, as far as a handicapper, where are you with motivation? Last minute scratches, who's playing, who's not?
You know, I was shocked Milwaukee played as hard as they did the other night. I mean, I was surprised. I mean, you know, Miami had the big lead on them at the half, and I thought Miami was a lock to win that game. And all of a sudden, Milwaukee decided to play like everybody in the second half and shocked me. I mean, Miami couldn't make a shot in the fourth quarter in that game. So, and they didn't have Jimmy Butler, but they built a really strong first half lead. And I thought Milwaukee would have been the turtle and just retreated and gone into their shell, but they came out and played like crazy. And so today, with a very few amount of tickets being written up, there's no money on Milwaukee. Everybody's betting on Dallas in this game.
Yeah, champ.
Now, why?
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I think because of the motivation, and I think Dallas, which I don't see how Dallas can ever get out of the West the way they play no defense for Rick Carlisle team to play no defense. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, they lost to the Clippers. Their last game against the Clippers, they gave up a 25-10 run to close out the game, a 126-111 loser. They just, you know, Seth Curry's a key to them. He should be coming back as far as shooting the ball. But that team, Dallas, is so confusing because, again, they don't play any defense. Offensively, they're ridiculous, but defensively, they're just as bad.
They're so fun to watch offensively, and Doncic is so great. But, I mean, look, at some point, he's got to play defense. I mean, just get near the guy. I mean, he doesn't even get close to the guy. I mean, it's like a basketball game you might see in the playgrounds. It's just like, okay, whatever you want, you can have it. At some point, if you want to be great, you got to play defense too.
But the fact that he's just 21, he's ridiculous. I mean, the build, everything about him. There's never, Michael, been an August like this before. And Nevada fans are getting in on the fun at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who bring you the most iconic casino and hotels in Las Vegas. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with live betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM Casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Basketball, baseball, hockey, all at once, all month long. If you want to take advantage of this once-in-a-lifetime offer and take your summer to the next level, then it's time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years old or physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. So Josh is going to join us here in just a minute. But I would say, as far as the restart, just kind of take a step back. You know, fouls are up from, you know, right around 20 and a half per team to 24 and a half per team. So it's a little bit sloppier. We expected that. But you also saw the totals rise immediately. We're seeing 220s. We're seeing 240s now. So again, it's been an entertaining product, to say the least.
No doubt. It's been fun to watch. And I think we're going to see a tightening come playoff time. I think that they got they're getting their conditioning. I think playoff time is going to be a lot of fun. I think especially in the East and in the West, if the Lakers don't find a way to score more, it's going to be a challenge for them.
33% from the floor for the Lakers. That's not going to get it done. And they're not stroking it from the outside yet either. Okay, we continue. We're getting them back on. Josh Applebaum, a market report right here on the Lombardi Line. It's presented by BetMGM. Of course, this is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It is the Lombardi Line. We welcome you back here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And Michael, we were just talking during the break, Steph and I, as far as how covert these teams have been. Now, this is uncharted territory as far as listing who's probable, who's going to play. But here at the South Point, there's, you know, the Trailblazers and Clippers. That's the game on the board. The rest of them off the board, just because it's impossible to find out with the reporting as far as who's in, who's out.
Yeah, I mean, that's a challenge, right? And so in the NFL, you can't get away with that. The player, you've got to declare probable, doubtful, and all that. I mean, that makes it really hard, and you've got to look at it. I mean, with some of these teams that have clinched, I mean, why would, if you just examine it, why would Giannis play today? Like, seriously, why wouldn't they rest him? They've got nothing to gain. But, you know, we saw the other night against Miami, he played in the fourth quarter and played it seriously.
Josh Applebaum. Hi, buddy. How are you? Of course, the daily newsletter, the podcast, VSiN.com. But we mentioned, Michael and I were just discussing as far as not necessarily covert. I don't want to phrase it that way, but just the reporting of who's in, who's out makes it hard for a better right now.
Patrick, Michael, yeah, it's great to be back, and great to have the band back together here, Patrick. But yeah, I think that's really important right now because a lot of these games are off the board. So, you know, you got to do your capping, you got to do your matchups, you know, but injuries here are big because right now you have to look at motivation. Who are these games more important to? Teams that are kind of entrenched in their playoff spot have less motivation to play well, you know, if they can't go up or down too much. But these teams who are really fighting for a playoff spot, especially in the West, and that's where we're going to go to for this early game here, Patrick and Michael. So, you know, this is one game that's getting a ton of action here. You guys hit on it at the beginning, but the Clippers and the Blazers, this is a motivation type spot here. So this most heavily bet game of the day thus far, it's the early game at 1 o'clock. This game opened at Clippers -4.5. And you saw sharps pretty much overnight hit the Blazers pretty early at +4.5. You know, the Blazers are playing great. They're 3-1 in the bubble. They're now only one game back of Memphis. So there's a lot of motivation for them to try to catch Memphis. And even though you saw those sharps hit the, you know, the 4.5, the 4, I woke up, it was down to like 1. But then we saw Kawhi Leonard get ruled out. So this is what you were talking about, Patrick. You know, guys resting. Clippers don't have much to fight for at this point. The line is flipped all the way to Blazers -2.5. Now it might even go to 3. It is moving very, very quickly here. So if you're late to the party, you know, sharps kind of like the Blazers at 4.5, 4, 3.5. Now it's tough because it's moved so much. Maybe even, you know, a money line opportunity around -150. You're getting dicey there, but early bird gets the worm. A very, very sharp Blazers play. Hopefully you got it early because this is really, really moving toward Portland.
Yeah, I've got Portland 2.5 at BetMGM. So, again, we saw that number 1 at some books, 2.5 at a few others. So that number continues to rise with the Trailblazers. Of course, the Kawhi news having an impact there. Also, the Heat and the Suns. Let's jump into this one, Josh.
Yeah, this one is also really interesting because, you know, you have a lot of different things going on in this one. Obviously, the Heat, they're pretty entrenched in the number 4 spot. The funny thing about the Phoenix Suns is they're playing with complete house money at this point. No one expected to do anything really in the bubble. They are invited kind of just as a, a luxury to get into the bubble. But they're 4-0 in the bubble. They're undefeated. They're playing very loose. They're playing great right now. And I think this is an opportunity if you wanted to take the Suns here. You know, right now you have the Suns, you know, -1.5. It may even go up to 2. Some books may even creep up further here. But this is kind of a pro and Joe play. You're seeing that line move. And you mentioned Patrick with injuries. You know, no Butler, no Nunn. Dragic is questionable. So that's a good opportunity to sweat the Suns. And Michael Lombardi, what do you think of the Suns? I know you're kind of high on them with Devin Booker. Would you lay the points here? Are you confident in them beating the Heat?
You know, I'll tell you, the way the Heat couldn't score last game, Josh, I mean, in the fourth quarter, they couldn't put anything near it. And, you know, look, they go so up and down. If Duncan Robinson, who's really one of the best three-point shooters down there in Orlando, you know, he got cold, and then that really killed him. And without Jimmy Butler, I think they've lost their edge a little bit, too. But I like the way the Heat play. I like the way Spoelstra coaches. I like the way they have determination. I would not be on this one. I would lean towards the Heat here. Of course, it's the perfect, you know, it's the perfect contrarian play for you if you go for the Heat here, because 8% of the money is coming in on the Heat.
Just got a minute here, Josh. Contrarian bonanza yesterday for you. Good job, my friend.
Thank you, my friend. Yeah, Patrick, I think, you know, the key here with these contrarian opportunities is also involving sharp action. So you guys hit on it. But that Celtics game, especially for our Nesson audience, that was a great spot here. I'm a Celtics fan. I can never bet on the Celtics because they're usually a big public favorite. But you had majority of bets on Toronto, open -3, got down to 1.5. So that's the sort of thing you want to look for. Don't just blindly go contrarian. Try to also incorporate being with the pros who, you know, win at a high rate, have the respect of the books. And when you see that reverse line movement, even though majority's on Toronto, line move to the Celtics, that's a sharp play you want to make every time you see it.
Okay, Josh, we'll talk to you in the next hour here on the Lombardi Line right after Mr. Palm. Coming up next, John Clayton, legendary NFL reporter, is going to join us right here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. Come on back. With major sports back in action, it's time, and it's the perfect time to experience everything at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've created the Sports Restart Special as an introduction to VSiN, so you have access to everything we offer from now through September 21st. You're going to receive the daily email updates with recaps of the bets from our guests and hosts. That's awesome. Point Spread Weekly, which is our digital sports betting magazine, 24/7 access to our live video stream. All special sports betting guides, including the hockey betting guide. This is a perfect way to see what VSiN has to offer and how our experts can help you improve your sports betting experience every single day. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today and get in on this special offer before it expires. Okay, we do welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. Hope you're having a great Saturday. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here in Las Vegas. Of course, he's Michael Lombardi in Jersey. And a legend, Michael, John Clayton, 710 ESPN Seattle radio host, schooled with the professors, the podcast, and he's John Clayton, as we say hello. And John, you've been doing this forever. You're a legend in the game. This will be an NFL season like you've never covered before.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we almost forget that Thursday was supposed to be the first game because that was going to be the Hall of Fame game. And today was supposed to be the induction of people into the Hall of Fame, but didn't happen. Of course, and at this stage, nobody's in pads yet. That's going to come up on the 17th. Yeah, this one is so different. And each day there seems to be something that we've either never seen before or never thought about before.
Yeah, I know, John. It's really remarkable. And the fact that we have no pads until the 17th just makes you wonder about what September's football is going to look like. And, you know, Seattle makes the big trade to get Jamal Adams. And I know you live up in the Northwest. So tell me about what you hear inside their building. And do you think they will sign Everson Griffith? Because I think that guy could be the difference maker to their defense.
Yeah, I mean, and overall, the Adams trade was huge, even though it was expensive. It cost 2 first-round picks, a third, and they were able to get a fourth back in Bradley McDougal. But their thinking was they're not going to find a player like that anywhere in the next several years. And it's very similar to what Pittsburgh did when they traded a first-round pick for Minkah Fitzpatrick. You get a player that, particularly now in a division that's so diverse on offense. I mean, you've got the Shanahan running scheme that's now in Los Angeles with Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. Then you also have a mobile quarterback out of a spread offense, you know, with what you can see with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. And so what they did is, I know some people think he's just an in-the-box safety, but he's that positionless player that Matt Rhule talked about when he went down to Carolina, that guy that can play just about everything. He's played 130 snaps at linebacker for the Jets last year. He was able to get 6.5 sacks. He's able to cover cornerbacks or cover tight ends. And so they think that helped put them over the top on defense. And you're right, whether it's going to be Clay Matthews or Everson Griffin, and I agree with you, Griffin's going to be the better fit. There's some reservations, you know, about the problems that he had a couple of years ago. But the interesting part about this, Pete Carroll coached Griffin in college along with coaching Clay Matthews in college. So he knows them both, but they need the end more than just that Leo pass rusher.
John Clayton joining us here on the Lombardi Line. So let's get an overview for the better here on the Seahawks. 11-5 last year, John. The win total set at 9.5 right now. They're the second betting favorite in the NFC West at +240. But let's just take a step back. Give us your take right now on where Seattle stands.
If they can get Griffin and even Matthews, I think they're pretty close to the 49ers. Now, the advantage that they're going to have, which could take the over as 9.5, is the fact that they've got Russell Wilson, who arguably is the second best quarterback in football right now. And they got a schedule that has the NFC East and the AFC East, where you're either facing young quarterbacks in the AFC, except for maybe Cam Newton. And then in the NFC, you've got 3 new coaches coming in. And that's going to be a problem, at least trying to get everything together as quickly as possible. So I'd say right now, the big criticism has been both the defense and the offensive line. They think the offensive line's a little bit better, mainly because the two guys that John Snyder wanted was Brandon Schell at right tackle and B.J. Finney at center. We'll see how that goes. But defensively, they've added probably more than just about any team among the playoff teams in the NFC because they've got Adams. They traded for Quentin Dunbar, who's waiting to see if he's going to come off the commissioner exemption list. You know, they've added now 4 Leos, the pass rushers, both in Bruce Irvin and Benson Mayoa, 2 draft choices in Daryl Taylor and Alton Robinson. So they feel good about that. They really like the speed that they may be able to get out of Jordan Brooks. So they've added a lot to the defense, but until they get them in pads and get them on the field, they don't know how good that can be.
John, let me ask you this question. Every better, you know, acknowledges that Russell Wilson's amazing. And we all see him, and he does remarkable things in the fourth quarter. But is there ever a sense up in the Northwest that perhaps if they let Russell Wilson take the West Coast offense approach, which is we are going to throw the ball to get the lead and run the ball to keep the lead, that wouldn't Seattle be the better team? Like, it seems to me like Seattle says, okay, now we're down 10. We have to make Russell throw it. And if they would just let Russell throw it early in the game, they may be better.
They'll do a little bit more of that, but that's not the philosophy that Pete Carroll likes. He likes to run the football. He thinks the value of that is very important. And then the problem is the problems they've had on the offensive line make it difficult to really establish too much of an extra passing game. The big talk up here among the fans and everybody else, let Russ cook, which is exactly to your point. Let him do more. But the one thing that Pete believes, along with the fact that he believes in running the football, is winning the turnover battle. turnover battle is one of the most important things for him. And so last year, you know, trying to run the football, and they're still among, you know, the better 5-6 running teams in football, that they can go ahead and keep the interception total down to 7 and keep the turnover total down. That's their big thing. They want to win the turnover battle. And Pete, right or wrong, feels that they can do it better running the football, but not with the West Coast style.
I think it's Mr. Unlimited now, Michael. I don't know if it's I don't think it's Russell Wilson anymore. He calls himself Mr. Unlimited. I can't. The videos. John Clayton needs to help out Russell with the personality a little
Nobody
bit.
Nobody had better videos than John Clayton at ESPN. John had the best one. He had it nailed. I mean, that should have won Emmys for years and years. It's still one of the best that they could run.
Stephanie was just saying that during the break, that John had by far. She said she couldn't stop laughing when she saw it the first time. Mr. Unlimited, though, Russell Wilson. He's a little off. Now, we're going to continue with John Clayton here coming up in just a little bit. We appreciate the time again here on the Lombardi Line. A ton to do as far as news and notes. The Washington Football Club, there's news coming out there as far as their starting running back. We'll get into that. Also, new faces and new places with Mr. Clayton as we continue along. Remember, you want to find John Clayton. You can easily do it on Twitter at John Clayton NFL, and Schooled with the Professor is the podcast. More with John Clayton coming back right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the sports betting network. Okay, BetMGM Sports wants you to start with some amazing odds during this August like no other. That's why they're giving new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on the Lakers-Pacers game. Either team hits a three, you're going to win $100. All you have to do is sign up and make your first bet with the bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this special offer. There's never been a summer like this before, ever, and that's why there's never been a better offer or a better time to sign up for BetMGM Sports. Download the BetMGM app today and use the promo code VSIN100 to win $100 and free bets when you bet $1 on the Lakers-Pacers game. Either team hits a three, boom, you get the cash. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. We do welcome you back again. Happy Saturday here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Hope you're having a great day. Michael Lombardi, John Clayton, the legend, joining us. Michael, I want to start with you, then get John's thoughts as well on this. Darius Geis, he's been cut by the Washington football team. Just 5 games in his 2 first seasons there in Washington. But this is big news for a team that was going to rely on this kid if he stayed healthy.
Yeah, look, I think Washington with Ron Rivera, they've got to change their culture. And they haven't had a culture within that building, and they can't tolerate anybody who's not going to comply with the culture that they have. And I think you've seen that with Ron Rivera. And this was a quick and swift decision that they made. I mean, remember, this is the team that that claimed Reuben Foster off the waiver wire. Now he's still on the roster, but after Foster had some issues, they were taking players in. That's all changed in Washington now. Now I think you're going to see less tolerance of players that don't behave off the field.
John, I would love to get your thoughts, not just on Geis, but overall on what's been happening in Washington.
It's a mess, but I contend that this was more Dan Snyder than it was Ron Rivera. And the reason I say that is a year ago, I would doubt that this would happen, that he would be cut so soon. I was on the air yesterday live when the story broke about the charges. And I said, you watch, so they'll cut him immediately. And sure enough, before I even got that out of the mouth, it was already done. He was released. And so what you can see is Dan is now sensitive to all these issues, as he should be, and should have been probably for the longest period of time. You know, you can see that he brought a woman in to replace Larry Michaels as far as running the broadcast department. You can see that he's now sensitized to even change the name, even though right now it doesn't have a name. And I would have to think right now with the environment that he had in the office with the people that was working for him, you know, it was changed. And now it carries down to the players. So a year ago, this wouldn't have happened. Now it was very predictable that it happened, and they released Darius Geis.
No chance it would have happened last year. You're absolutely right, John. There's no way they would have done it. And of course, last year they told all of us they have a great culture. So I think things are changing, and I think you're right. Dan Snyder is finally, you know, he's taken all the heat on the team as well he should, because look, let's face it, since he's owned the team in 99, I think they've made four playoff appearances. You know, he's got a 42% winning percentage as an owner. And, you know, people say, well, he spends money. Yeah, but he spends it all in the wrong places. So I think you're absolutely right.
I think the quote was actually, "We've got a damn good culture, Michael." That was from from the punter, of course. John Clayton joining us here on the Lombardi Line. New faces, new places, John. It's going to be an interesting year in the NFL. We just saw Cam with his introductory presser yesterday via Zoom. I want to get your thoughts on Cam there in New England.
I think he's going to do well, because I think you know he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. You know that he's a quarterback that, even if you look at some of the ratings right now, he's middle of the pack, but that's only because of the injuries. I think he has a chance to at least elevate the offense, and you would anticipate that they've been, you know, wanting in some time to go to a running type of offense in New England. The question is going to be, is there enough talent with the 8 opt-outs, the 5 key guys that left in free agency, and what's there at wide receiver and tight end to be able to do it? But you know, once he went there, and again, I'm assuming he's going to win the job. I know Bill likes Jared Stidham a lot, but I would anticipate that Cam wins the job. The question is going to be, is there enough there that's left to be able to get to 9-10 wins?
Yeah, I think that's right, John. And I think he does have a huge chip on his shoulder. And I think that they're going to have to rely on playing some young guys as they move forward. And I know you're really wired in the league. So tell me, what was your understanding of why Cam didn't get any sniffs from anywhere until when the Patriots were the last stop? Do you have any sense of why no one really was interested? Is it all injury related?
His physicals. That was the big thing, because with him not being able to get a physical, because the Physicians Association said no team physicals and no team doctor can do a physical, he was trapped. And remember, you know, he was released after that date. And so he, like Jadeveon Clowney and so many players around the league, basically was in purgatory waiting to see until the doctor could at least visit him. Now, they've opened it up now, or even today, you really can't have the team doctor do too much. I mean, you have to go to an independent doctor. So the fact that he was sitting out there, you saw the shuffling of quarterbacks that happened in the league, and so he was out of the mix. And then, you know, he goes and finally gets the offer to go to New England. And Bill Belichick, as you know, Mike, has talked about him positively for years. And so it seemed to be a pretty good fit, even though it was a low number. But what I'm also wondering about the Patriots, maybe you can answer this, Michael, is that I look right now, because I'm writing a story for the Washington Post on the Patriots, and what I'm looking at, their top 6 draft choices are all probably going to play a lot this year. Their top 6 draft choices, including the kicker.
No doubt. And the kicker's got he's got the most pressure on him as anybody. Now, one thing I know about Belichick, he's really good with kickers. I mean, he signed Matt Stover our first year in Cleveland in 91. And Matt Stover, you know, struggled early, but Bill knew he had ability to kick. And it took like game 4. I mean, I was ready to fire him after he missed the first kick. And Belichick was like, no, this guy's going to be really good. We just got to hang in here with him. And he made a winning kick game 4 of the 92 season against Cincinnati. And so we did. And I think Bill will get that. But that kicker's got when people don't, that's a tough place to kick, like Chicago, like anywhere in the Northeast where the wind's whipping. You've got to have a powerful leg and you've got to be good. But I do think it's a young man's league this year. I really do. I think the coaching staff that keeps veteran players on the roster this year without having a real chance to prepare. I think they run the risk of the veterans running out of gas late in the season. Like the Raiders, where are you on Derek Carr right now? I mean, I know you kind of know what's going on in Las Vegas, but talk to us a little bit about the Raiders. John's won 11 games in 2 years there. Are they going to get this turned around, or are they good enough on defense?
Now, they're better on defense, but probably they need one more draft or one more offseason to get the defense good enough. On Carr, I think it was funny because he talked about being disrespected and tired of being disrespected and all that stuff. Lincoln Kennedy, who does the broadcast, said, hey, we'll play better. And I think you can see there's a little bit of a problem right now that John has with Derek Carr. He doesn't get the ball downfield enough. And there's no accident that you talk about, whether it's disrespect or just not having the respect. You know, they went out and paid $7.8 million a year on a 2-year deal to Marcus Mariota. So you would anticipate if there's going to be a slow start, and the chances of a slow start are probably pretty good because their schedule is really jammed up in the first 6 or 7 games, that at some point, you know, maybe in October, Marcus Mariota will probably end up starting.
Okay, it is apropos that the professor John Clayton is on with us as we're going to break some news here on the Lombardi Line. Quickly, John was all over the number, Michael. 9.5 is the number for the Patriots and 7.5 on the Las Vegas Raiders as far as season win totals. As far as the news, John and Michael, it appears the Mid-American Conference, the MAC, is expected today to officially cancel its 2020 college football season, obviously amid the COVID-19 pandemic. John, I'm going to start with you. I'm putting you on the spot, but any reaction to the MAC potentially canceling its season?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, because again, you know the Power Five are going to try to push through that. And maybe there's a little reservation in the Big Ten, but they're going to push through it. But some of these other conferences, you know, I'm a little surprised that a couple have actually gone through. But, you know, you have to understand this. You know, if you can't get students on campus, and which is a case going to be in a lot of these schools around the country, that it's really tough to be able to justify playing football. And so moving it back, just like we saw yesterday with the Big Sky, no surprise there. But we do know the Power Five are going to go. So I don't know how many of the bigger conferences are going to be there. Is it 8, 9? But we know the Power Five is going to be there. But I'm not surprised in the MAC.
Yeah, neither am I. And I think this too, John, as you know, these kids are going to start to opt out in the Power Fives because they're concerned. And once the MAC couldn't play, get that big game, that payday that they need to really keep their program going against one of these Power Fives, it really made no sense for them financially to even play. They're going to try to do it in the spring. So I think the landscape in college football is going to be very, very interesting to watch in the next 2 or 3 weeks, especially if players continue to opt out.
Schooled with the Professor is the podcast. You can hear John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle. You can find him on Twitter at John Clayton NFL. As I mentioned, it was apropos you were joining with breaking news. Great job, John. Thank you very much for
your time.
Thanks,
John.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, there he is, John Clayton. And, well, this is very fluid, Michael. The MAC could be canceling its season. No, it's unknown whether the MAC will attempt to play the college football season in spring of 2021.
Yeah, look, it's a shame. I mean, but what John said is true. I mean, unless it's hard. The colleges are really dangerous because there's so much, you know, that we see it with a lot of the younger people in America. They're going out, they hang out, and, you know, and then this virus spreads and it becomes a melting pot and you can't really do it. And they need those paydays, Patrick. I mean, Kent State, Akron, my team Akron, what are we going to do without Akron, Josh Applebaum? I mean, seriously, we're going to be disastrous. I mean, we were making so much money on Akron last year, right? Now we can't do it. I feel bad, you know, but that's the problem. They need those paydays. They need to go play a Big Ten school to get a big check to keep their program alive.
Look at him. Look, he's laughing. I can see you in the corner there, Josh. Again, it's unknown what they're going to do, but it does appear there's a scheduled 11:30 a.m. Eastern time press conference. The Mid-American Conference, the MAC, is expected to officially cancel its 2020 college football season. Josh Applebaum, the aforementioned, will be joining us coming up in just a bit. And I botched
We need to get the Sinatra music playing because we got the guest of all guests coming
up.
Yeah,
we got Mike Palm. Mr. Palm's right. Going to be joining us also, right. Quote, unquote, which I botched in the first hour. We're coming back with that and more here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.